भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके Thank you very much. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 25, The Glories of Lord Ananta, Text Number 4 and 5. Yasyangri kamala yugala aruna vishadanakha manishanda mandal mandaleshu ahipataya saha satava tarshabhai ekanta bhakti yogena avanam mantaha svavatanani परिस्फुरत कुंडल प्रभा मंडित गंडस्थलानि अति मनोहरानि प्रमुदित मनसः खलु विलोकयन्ति. Please repeat. Yasya, of whom? Angri Kamala, of lotus feet. Yugala, of the pair. Aruna Vishada, brilliantly pink. Nakha, of the nails. Manishanda, like gems. Mandaleshu, on the round surfaces. Ahipataya, the leaders of the snakes. Saha, with Satavata Rishabhe, the best devotees. Ekanta Bhakti Yogena, with unalloyed devotional service. Avanamanta, offering obeisances. Sarvadanani, their own faces. Parispurat, glittering. Kundala, of the earrings. Prabha, by the effulgence. Mandita, decorated. Gandhasthalani, whose cheeks, Ati Manoharani, very beautiful. Pramudita Manasa, their minds refreshed. Kalu, indeed, Vilokayanti. They see. Translation. The pink, transparent toenails of the Lord's lotus feet are exactly like valuable gems polished to a mirror finish. I'll just repeat that. The pink, transparent toenails on the Lord's lotus feet are exactly like valuable gems polished to a mirror finish. When the unalloyed devotees and the leaders of the snakes offer their obeisances to Lord Sankarshan with great devotion, they become very joyful upon seeing their own beautiful faces reflected in his toenails. Their cheeks are decorated with glittering earrings, and the beauty of their faces is extremely pleasing to see. Text number 5. Yasyaiva Kinagaraja Kumaraya Ashisha Ashan Ashasanaschari Charu Angavalaya Vilasita Vishada Vipula Thala Subhagaru Chira Puja Rajata Stambeshu Aguru Chandana Kumkuma Pankana Panka Anulepanavalimpamanas Tat Abhimarshana Unamatita Hridaya Makara Dajavesha Ruchira Lalita Smita Tat Anuragamada Mudita Mada Vigurnitaruna Karunavaloka Nayana Vadanaravindam Savridam Kila Vilokayanti. Please repeat. Yasya. Of whom? Eva. Certainly. He. Indeed. Nagaraja Kumariya. The unmarried princesses of the serpent kings. Ashisha. Blessings. Ashasana. Hoping for. Charu. Beautiful. Angavalaya. On the sphere of his body. Vilasita. Gleaming, Vishada, spotless, Vipula, long, Thala, white, sorry, Thavala, white, Subhaga, indicating good fortune, Ruchira, beautiful, Bhuja, on his arms, Rajata Stambeshu, like columns of silver, Aguru of aloe, Chandana of sandalwood, Kumkuma of saffron, Panka from the pulp, Anulepana with an ointment, Avalim Pamana, smearing, tat abhimarshana, by contact with his limbs, anumatita, excuse me, unmatita, agitated, hridaya, in their hearts, makara dvaja, of Cupid, Avesha, due to the entrance, Ruchira, very beautiful, Lalita, delicate, Smitaha, who's smiling, Tat, of him, Anuraga, of attachment, Mother, by the intoxication, Mudita, delighted, Mother, due to intoxication with kindness, Vighurnita, rolling, Aruna, pink, Karuna Avaloka, glancing with kindness, Nayana, eyes, Badana, and face, Aravindam, like lotus flowers, Savridam, with bashfulness, Kila, indeed, Vilokayanti, they see. Translation. Lord Ananta's arms are attractively long, beautifully decorated with bangles, and completely spiritual. They are white, and so they appear like silver columns. When the beautiful princesses of the serpent kings, hoping for the Lord's auspicious blessing, smear his arms with aguru pulp, sandalwood pulp, and kumkuma, the touch of his limbs awakens lusty desires within them. Understanding their minds, the Lord looks at the princesses with a merciful smile, and they become bashful, realizing that he knows their desires. Then they smile beautifully and look upon the Lord's lotus face, which is beautified by reddish eyes, rolling slightly from intoxication and delighted by love for his devotees. Purple. When males and females touch each other's bodies, their lusty desires naturally awaken. It appears from this verse that there are similar sensations in spiritual bodies. Both Lord Ananta and the women giving him pleasure had spiritual bodies. Thus all sensations originally exist in the spiritual body. This is confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, Janma Adi Asya Yata. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented in this connection that the word Adi means Adi Rasa, the original lusty feeling which is born from the Supreme. However, spiritual lust and material lust are as completely different as gold and iron. Only one who is very highly elevated in spiritual realization can understand the lusty feelings exchanged between Radha and Krishna, or between Krishna and the damsels of Vraja. Therefore, unless one is very experienced and advanced in spiritual realization, he is forbidden to discuss the lusty feelings of Krishna and the gopis. However, if one is a sincere and pure devotee, the material lust in his heart is completely vanquished as he discusses the lusty feelings between the gopis and Krishna, and he makes quick progress in spiritual life. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Unamilitam Yena As नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 The pink, transparent toenails on the Lord's lotus feet are exactly like valuable gems polished to a mirror finish. When the unalloyed devotees and the leaders of the snakes offer their obeisances to Lord Sankarshan with great devotion, they become very joyful upon seeing their own beautiful faces reflected in his toenails. Their cheeks are decorated with glittering earrings, and the beauty of their faces is extremely pleasing to see. Lord Ananta's arms are attractively long, beautifully decorated with bangles and completely spiritual. They are white, and so they appear like silver columns. When the beautiful princesses of the serpent kings, hoping for the Lord's auspicious blessing, smear his arms with aguru palp, sandalwood palp, and kumkuma, the touch of his limbs awakens lusty desires within them. Understanding their minds, the Lord looks at the princesses with a merciful smile, and they become bashful, realizing that he knows their desires. Then they smile beautifully and look upon the Lord's lotus face, which is beautified by reddish eyes rolling slightly from intoxication and delighted by love for his devotees. I'll repeat a part of the purport which is very pertinent to understanding these two verses. It appears from this verse that there are similar sensations in spiritual bodies. Both Lord Ananta and the women giving him pleasure had spiritual bodies. Thus, all sensations originally exist in the spiritual body. As pointed out yesterday's class, we are living a conditioned life. It's not our natural life. It's perverted. It has been changed. Water when it's changed, it becomes ice. Ice is not its natural condition. But if you find some quality in the conditioned state, it suggests that its full manifestation is in its natural state. So we have experience of the sex feeling, the feeling that inspires lust between male and female. Now, this is a conditioned life. Now, so what would it be like in the unconditioned state, in the pure state, spiritual state? First of all, in the spiritual state, there is only one enjoyer. Everyone else is his servant. And there is no personal enjoyment, independent of giving enjoyment to Krishna. This is the most important point to understand. As soon as you have the idea of personal enjoyment, we are speaking of the conditioned state, not the spiritual state. In the spiritual world, there's only one enjoyer, and everyone else is enjoyed by him. Our experience is that we try to enjoy matter, but in the spiritual world there is no matter. Everything is spiritual. Everyone is spiritual. So Krishna enjoys with other living conscious beings, not with dead matter. So everything that Krishna enjoys is a loving exchange with his devotees. So when we speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we're speaking of a person, not an impersonal. So janamadi asya yata, all the perverted experience we have of a person. Person means not dead stone. He likes things and he thinks he doesn't like. So Krishna, he likes. He's the person. He has likes. And if you like, dislikes also. So his devotees like to give him what he likes. He is very, he's the enjoyer. He likes to enjoy. So he enjoys all kinds of mellows, relationships, of service, of friendship, of paternal affection, and of conjugal love. So this conjugal love is called the Adi Rasa. It is the mellow in which all the other rasas are a subset, are contained within this. Krishna is the personification of that Adi Rasa enjoyment. So all his devotees who have given up their conditioned way of life, who are in the spiritual state, they love to give him service in the Adi Rasa. So today we're reading an exchange of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Ananta. There's an interesting thing about Lord Ananta. He's described as having many hoods, but today we read he has long white arms that appear like silver columns. And interestingly, in the next canto, there's a picture of Lord Sankarshan, and he has no hoods. He is Lord Narayan, but he is Sankarshan. So Krishna is not an ordinary snake. But Krishna is also not an ordinary human being. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever his form. In this case, Lord Ananta has many hoods, long arms. So that means the torso is entirely like a human. But the heads are hoods. Now another interesting thing to notice is that whilst it's described that Lord Ananta is at the lowest part of the universe, then it's also described that the universe is like a white mustard seed on his hood. That means he is outside of the universe. Below the universe means he's just outside of it. So the universe appears like one tiny mustard seed on his hood. And on all his hoods are all the universes of the entire material manifestation. On all, every single one of them. And whilst he's maintaining the universes, he's being served by the princesses, the daughters of the kings of the serpents. This is the picture. It's a wonderful picture. It's very... Now Srila Prabhupada says something very interesting, that actually to hear about the Adi Rasa of Krishna requires somebody to be a pure devotee. And otherwise he misunderstands Krishna's pastimes as something material that we experience with our conditioned state. You have to understand, our so-called experience is very, it's not spiritual. Why? First of all, our feelings are not for the soul. They're not born of the soul and they're not for the soul. They're material. They're bodily, bodily concept of life. They're not in the spiritual concept. So therefore, Prabhupada first of all cautions us, don't think this exchange is like ours, which is bodily, temporary, material, lusty. Kamesha krodesha rajaguna samudbhava mahashano mahapapma vidhi enam iha vairina. Our experience leads us to hell. Is the cause of our suffering. Spiritually, so this is the difference between iron and gold. Both are metals, but they have different qualities, opposite qualities. Iron, the moment it is created, it starts to deteriorate because air acts with it, water acts with it, and it becomes rusty, it decays. Gold is almost eternal. It does not decay. It doesn't react with anything. Nothing. Not even with radiation. When you have 18 karat gold, it is not, there is no mixture. You can only superimpose gold with something, but it will not chemically mix with anything, with any chemical, with any situation. So this is the spiritual lusty affairs of the spiritual world and the material lusty affairs which are the cause of our suffering. So Srila Prabhupada cautions us not to indulge in it if you are in the bodily concept of life. But then there is something interesting at the end. So the caution, I'll repeat, therefore unless one is very experienced and advanced in spiritual realization, he is forbidden to discuss the lusty feelings of Krishna and the gopis. However, if one is a sincere and pure devotee, so two qualifications, sincere and pure devotee. I'll explain that also. The material lust in his heart is completely vanquished as he discusses the lusty feelings between the gopis and Krishna. And he makes quick progress in spiritual life. This is very, important lesson. Two qualifications. One has to be sincere and pure devotee. So, now you have to reconcile this with the next part. Material lust in his heart That means he is sincere, he's a pure devotee, yet may have material lust in his heart. Do you follow? This is the person. So if he discusses the lusty feelings between Krishna and the gopis, the lust in his heart is vanquished. So there's a number of points which have to be understood. One has to be sincere. One should not be insincere. One should not be pretentious. One should not be a pretender. Must be very sincere. So that means his starting point is one where he is a conditioned living being. He is not free from conditioning. Condition means he has some degree of lust. However, Krishna consciousness process is a process that can uplift him. But he has to be sincere. He has to be in earnest. He cannot be deceptive. He should not be pretentious. When he applies himself to the process of Krishna consciousness sincerely, and pure devotee means fully, without a break, 24 hours. He is sincere and he fully applies himself to the process of Krishna consciousness. Such a person, his lust, when he hears the topics of Krishna and the gopis, his lust is vanquished. And he makes quick progress in spiritual life. It's a very amazing process, very nice program. You're not being asked to do tapa, gyan, yajna, austerities, sacrifices, and acquire knowledge. Just you have to be sincere and apply yourself to the program of Krishna consciousness 24 hours. And your lust will go, will be vanquished simply by hearing Krishna katha. It will enter your heart and it will conquer your lust. Because you are, the word was used in the word for word, let me find it. It was ekanta bhakti yogena, with unalloyed devotional service, ekanta. Eka anta, one, without anything else, one, only one. One pointed focus on Krishna, pure devotee. Now, there was another word that was mentioned earlier in the purport. It's good to find it and then unless one is very experienced and advanced, one has to be trained in this art, how to be sincere, one, how to be fully engaged in Krishna's devotional service, two, and three, how to hear the topics of Krishna. So these three elements require training from an experienced devotee who is well established in these three areas already. Don't point your feet. Who is already experienced. And you have to get this training, this Training means he will correct you when you're doing it wrong. That's training. He will say, this is wrong. Now you will learn what is right, what is wrong. One time, I remember my own training, back in 79, there was Vipramukhya Prabhu. You know, we had what's called the Bhakta program. You get trained, how to do everything. What is devotional service? You learn Bhagavad Gita, nectar of instruction, and so many, and then you go on Harinam. So every day I was getting overwhelmed by a list of things you had to do and what you should not do. So I said, I need a book and I need a pen, I need to write all this down. So I went to Vipramukhya Prabhu, I said, okay, I'm ready, please tell me. Because I've already forgotten what you said. I need to write it down. So, I got a book, I got a pen, and he said, okay, are you ready? It's a very big list. I said, yes, I'm ready. He said, always remember Krishna and never forget him. That's it. I said, now I'm ready. Now you're just telling me two things. He said, always remember Krishna and don't forget him. All the other rules and regulations are subordinate to these two principles. So everything we do is supposed to cultivate our manmana, our thought, our thinking of Krishna. This is the training. This is why we do what we do. Everything we do, getting up for Mangalarti, having a bath, putting on fresh clothes, tilak, chanting mantras, putting on tilak. Everything we do is for the purpose of manmana, thinking of Krishna and never forgetting. So this is training. And this allows the devotee to also engage in Krishna's service 24 hours because he is sincere. Because he's sincere, he wants to do it not part-time. He wants to do it full-time. Fully. That means he has to have faith that just by engaging in Krishna's service, all my needs will be fulfilled. I do not need to make a separate endeavor to fulfill my needs. He has to have this faith. Adau shraddha tata sadhu sangata. So this is sadhu sangha. Bhajana kriya. This bhajana kriya is your training. So this training allows you to hear, and when you hear Krishna Katha, your lust is removed. So these are the three components mentioned. So I won't take up more of your time, just in case there's any questions. Any questions or comments? While you're collecting your thoughts, the pink transparent toenails on the Lord's lotus feet are exactly like valuable gems polished to a mirror finish. When the unalloyed devotees and the leaders of the snakes offer their obeisances to Lord Sankarshan with great devotion, they become very joyful upon seeing their own beautiful faces reflected in his toenails. Their cheeks are decorated with glittering earrings, and the beauty of their faces is extremely pleasing to see. Lord Ananta's arms are attractively long, beautifully decorated with bangles and completely spiritual. They are white, and so they appear like silver columns. When the beautiful princesses of the serpent kings, hoping for the Lord's auspicious blessing, smear his arms with aguru pulp, sandalwood pulp, and kumkum, The touch of his limbs awakens lusty desires within them. Understanding their minds, the Lord looks at the princesses with a merciful smile, and they become bashful, realizing that he knows their desires. Then they smile beautifully and look upon the Lord's lotus face, which is beautified by reddish eyes, rolling slightly from intoxication and delighted by love for his devotees. Any questions? Can you pass the mic behind you?
When the beauty princess of king's servants giving devotional service to Lord and they touch the Lord's body, so they both lusty desire. I accept it. By the mercy of Vaishnavas, Gurus and Krishna, but I am not realizing over.
Okay. You can correct me if I'm going to express your question. You're saying that I accept because it's in the Bhagavatam that the Lord is being served by these Komari, unmarried princesses, and their lusty desires are being increased. But you don't understand it. You accept it, but you're finding it difficult perhaps to fully understand. Is that right? So that was our attempt to explain that these lusty desires are desires of wanting to please Krishna. Our idea of lusty desire, because it's conditioned, because it's perverted, is matter, material. In the spiritual world, there is no matter, there's nothing material. There is also no concept of aham ameti, of I being the enjoyer. There isn't. So, lusty desires means there's an intense feeling, a conjugal feeling of wanting to serve Krishna. In the conjugal rasa. This is called the Adi rasa. Krishna is not impersonal. He is the person who invokes the strongest, the deepest, the most transcendental and spiritual feeling in the soul. You have to understand, again, look at iron. This was gold. Iron has a similar feeling. But that intense feeling, hridaya granthi, it is your bondage. There is no real feeling for that person because you don't know the person. You only know the body. And spiritually, there is no body as in material. It's all spiritual and it's eternal. Sat, chit, anand. It is not in ignorance. It is eternal. It is full of knowledge and it is blissful. So here this bliss is the binding factor. Over there it is the most sublime, the most pure factor. It's the most purifying. The Adi Rasa actually is the most purifying process of Krishna consciousness. But you have to be trained to be able to take it in a purifying way rather than in a way that enhances your material desires. Does that make sense? Okay. Are there any other questions or comments? Yeah, please. Put it closer. I heard it explained once by a senior devotee that the lusty statues and images outside temples is for the person who is materialistic, that he thinks this is the purpose of temples. So he's left on the outside. You cannot go past unless you are free from this. This is what I heard from a senior devotee explain, that it is to stop those who have a material concept of life from entering. Because once you enter, there is no more. It's only Krishna in the main altar. But on the outside, it's full of all kinds of, you know, erotic imagery.
So in that respect, you are saying that what also is spoken in the world, or what also has comfortabilized his story, is it okay? Also
no, it's not okay. This is, in other words, this is part of architecture to stop somebody who has that concept of life from entering. He thinks this is the purpose of a temple. What he sees from the outside, that's it. He won't go inside. This is the explanation. It's not something I have heard Srila Prabhupada make a comment on. So I just quoted one senior devotee. So leave it at that. There's nothing more deeper to get from it. All right. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki.